Well, that sounds like interview music to me, and I have two guests with me whom you've met before, and it is my delight to bring them back here to the studio to talk about an upcoming concert. I have, first of all, Terry Barber, who's, oh golly, he's a former member of the Grammy Award-winning group Chanticleer. You've heard him on just about any record label, major record label, with a range of artists from Madonna to the London Philharmonic, and he's recognized and praised for his extraordinary vocal range and versatility, and I love the warmth in his voice. Good morning, Terry Barber.
You're so sweet. Thank you, Kathy. It's
You're
so
very
nice to
welcome.
Be here.
It's lovely to have you here. And Maurice Carlin, who is a harpsichordist and plays forte piano, and she is also the director of the Kingsbury Ensemble. She's performed throughout the United States and abroad, both as a pianist and a harpsichordist. She's appeared from her recital, first debut recital in Carnegie Hall, just about everywhere, that's any hall of import. And it's lovely to have you back, Maurice.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning.
Good morning. Now, you have a very wonderful concert that's going to be coming up very shortly here, and that's going to be on, would you like to share with everyone?
February 26th, 7:30 p.m. at Trinity Presbyterian Church.
And what is it going to be?
Sure. So, we're going to take people back in time to the Baroque and share some works by wonderful major composers and some lesser known works for the Kingsbury Ensemble and countertenor voice, which many people don't know what it is, so probably should take a moment to explain that, unless you'd like to, Kathy.
The countertenor, you know, P.D.Q. Bach had a cute thing about the bargain countertenor.
Yes. that's wonderful. And actually, I tell people you don't
range.
Need a prescription for this over-the-counter tenor.
An over-the-counter tenor. I love it. An over-the-counter tenor. Well, a countertenor, of course, is we're in the same range, aren't we?
Exactly. So men who sing higher than tenor, and it's the rarest voice type. And so we have countertenors that sing either contralto, mezzo-soprano, or some even sopranos. But countertenor is less specific in that way than the other classifications because we really do have countertenors that sing in really three different ranges. I'm kind of a mezzo-soprano countertenor myself.
And that has his voice, as you well know, Maurice, is so warm and so beautiful. Some countertenors don't necessarily have that warmth of color.
The American school of countertenor singing is a little more aligned with just good singing, I think, and bel canto, as opposed to some of the earlier. I mean, I did my master's in England, so I shouldn't. I don't want to criticize, but many of the English countertenors had more of a breathier sound or not use of vibrato almost ever, which is, of course, historically informed. I go back and forth on that point because I think warm is nice for the ear. There's also the idea that vibrato was an ornament in a certain period. So
yes, it was.
I go back and forth a little bit on that, but.
Well, and I think sometimes style, you know, for a different piece, different period of piece can make a big difference.
For sure.
You know,
that's
so
true.
Well, tell us about this program. You've got some great stuff that is programmed on here.
Yes. Terry and I worked on this program together as far as the songs, the arias are concerned. We have two types of arias, maybe three types. We have Bach and Handel, which are sung in Latin, right? Oh no, Bach is in German. That's true. An aria from yeah. The Saint Matthew's Passion with obbligato violin, and an extract from excerpt, I should say, from Dixie Dominus by Handel, and then we have the more virtuosic kind of aria, Italian style, and we have two wonderful Purcell songs that are just with cello and harpsichord and voice. So that's the three types. And as well, we have a concerto, a wonderful Telemann concerto that we have never performed before here for flute and recorder and strings. And I will be doing a Bach concerto for harpsichord, one of the shorter ones, but it's a wonderful one in F minor.
And all of this is going to be on the 26th, and it's going to be at Trinity Presbyterian?
Yes, that's in the Loop. Yeah, and there's ample parking and handicapped access as well.
Two pluses
which
there.
Which is, yes, important, especially at night.
Yes, and it's such a glorious space. This will be beautiful for this particular concert.
It should be a wonderful acoustic, I hear. Mm-hmm. And it's my first chance to do something with the Kingsbury Ensemble.
I was going to ask you if this was your first collaboration. How did you meet?
When I moved to St. Louis, I, being a countertenor, period work, before the classical period, really, is a specialty, an area that I like to work. And I've worked with many early music groups around the country and outside the country. And so I thought it must be I need to do my due diligence and find who are the groups in St. Louis. And of course, Maurice, being an exceptional harpsichordist, was one of the first people that I found and landed on, and we connected. And she said, "Oh, you're a countertenor and you live in St. Louis. Wow, we must meet." And so we did get together and just sing through some things, play through some things.
Last spring it was, right? Last spring. Yeah.
And then she said, "Let's do a program." So it's been a while, and really, I feel like this is a cultural opportunity, unlike most, for St. Louis, for people who haven't been to a period ensemble, to hear either replicas of or instruments created in the style of. Either replicas of or actual instruments that are old, and people who are trained and know how to play them in the way that the composer would have intended from that period. So we're going to really bring people artistically, musically back several hundred years.
Mm-hmm. A little beam back in time.
Yes, exactly.
With the most beautiful arias.
Mm, yes, they are gorgeous.
They truly are
really
are.
Yes, some. I mean, most of them. I mean, each one of them I really love. They are really splendid music. So it'll be a really nice opportunity because some of them, like the Bach, and probably some people know the Handel, not much, the Dixit Dominus.
No, and it was, I think, quite early in his writing career.
Right.
He's a little more experimental, some of the choral works that he writes, and you can hear, if you try to sing it, which I have, the whole work and performed it a couple of times as the second soprano or the alto, or both, depending on the budget. It's quite difficult because I think he was really trying out some things, and you can hear some of his kind of layering up of suspensions that he eventually used in Messiah, and really wonderful, exciting, and challenging work, but maybe not as easy for the voice as he eventually created many more works that were more accessible,
more,
I think.
More gratifying and to the voice, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then there's two Italian composers, which probably a lot of people haven't heard of, Porpora and Giacomelli. And both airs come from their opera, which are probably never performed.
Right.
Who knows? I don't know.
And they're very, very, very beautiful.
But they are gorgeous, really wonderful. And every time I hear a piece and I discover a piece like that, it gets me all excited because there is so much repertoire in the Baroque that is absolutely wonderful and we haven't yet discovered.
That's true.
There's a lot of things to look forward to.
And some of those things are dreadfully difficult to sing, too.
Yes, especially
there are a lot of notes.
Lots of notes.
Many notes. The Alto Giove of Porpora, I actually heard the first time, hate to admit, when I saw the film Farinelli, which I did my master's research in replacing roles written for the castrati in modern performances and how we approach that. And so it was interesting to me to see the film because there were certain things that were historically totally inaccurate. They had a scene where Handel and Farinelli met before Farinelli went to London, for example. So there were things that just didn't happen that weren't accurate. But the depiction of the life of a castrato and what it would be like, and especially one who became a superstar, because you know even after this horrible thing that was done to these young boys, many of them did not become stars. Many of them ended up being not being exceptional, and even though they began rigorous training in every kind of music instrument, right, composition and voice, many of them did not end up to be the stars that Farinelli was. Anyway, in the film Farinelli, which was kind of a Hollywood hit, they used the countertenor voice of Derek Lee Reagan and a European soprano, and
They mixed edited them
it,
together.
Yeah, edited it together so that they could get the extremely high range parts. That porpora aria is on there. I'm singing it just by myself.
Without, no cheating.
Without any cheating or any...
no Milli Vanilli.
No Milli Vanilli. Maybe you could come in and just, you know, hit some of the really high notes for me. But no, it's a lovely piece and lots of very florid, beautiful writing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that that's something, too, it's so rarely done, that it, that in its own right is a great drawing card for this concert. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just mm-hmm. something quite unique, yes. You know, quite unique. Yes.
We had a little rehearsal before we came here, and it's I just am so overjoyed. It's among the most culturally sophisticated music that I get to make this season, and it warms my heart in a different kind of way. Bach is my favorite composer. And so we're definitely doing one of the most heart-wrenching Bach arias ever written. Yeah.
Oh, gosh, yes.
That and Lenore Anop will play the Obbligato. Valenzuela, which is
I can't
really
wait to hear
gorgeous.
It.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a heartbreaking and gorgeous aria. Mm-hmm, it mm-hmm. truly is. And this just sounds like such a marvelous, marvelous experience. Let me give all the details again, if you don't mind. This is going to be Saturday, April 11th. Mark your calendar now. No, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I am so sorry. I've got a wrong information here. I grabbed the wrong piece of paper. That was last year's concert. That is going to be this Friday, this year, Friday, February 26th, 7:30 p.m. at Trinity Presbyterian Church, 6800 Washington Avenue in St. Louis. The most beautiful Baroque arias.
And I would ask if people want more information and how to get tickets, they can go to our website, kingsburyensemble.com.
Excellent. And a week from this Friday, we hope we'll see many people.
Yes.
Yeah, so they'll all see you in 8 days.
Yes.
8 days at 7:30. Well, it's grand to have you here and to help us talk about this particular piece. And to play out here, I have a piece all queued up that you had... done your own thing with, Terry.
So I
meant, let's hear about this.
Bach is my favorite composer, and of course, the air on the G string is one of the most played pieces that he wrote and used often in weddings. And I thought, inspired kind of by Bobby McFerrin, if you will, who has some connection to St. Louis, if I'm not
absolutely
mistaken, I decided to sing the violin part. And so I adapted a couple of Friedrich Rückert poems, which are about love, and made them fit to the violin solo and recorded this in my home with some prodigy students, Hannah and Kayla Geisinger, who are harp and viola students. Hannah is in her freshman year now at Juilliard and the first chair viola player at there. So,
how marvelous for them, too. So everyone listen carefully to the beautiful voice of Terry Barber.
Thank you. Do you?
least in need. Schreib an den Schmerz voll sei Distanz. Treib an den Schmerz.
That is the gorgeous voice of Terry Barber with two premier students. Again, their names?
What were they? Hannah and Kayla Geisinger.
Hannah and Kayla Geisinger, who are now at Juilliard?
Kayla is a bit younger. They're both oil painters. I mean, amazing, artistically creative and supportive family. And so they both have had wonderful private support for their instruments and their interest in art. And they're just very gifted. Too, on top of it.
And very gifted, too. Nothing wrong with that in many ways. See,
hardworking and gifted. A great combination.
Renaissance women.
Exactly.
Well, one more time. The date?
Friday, February 26, 7:30 at Trinity Presbyterian Church in the Loop, in the Delmar Loop.
And we'll see you a week from tomorrow for a cultural experience.
Exactly.
In the Baroque arias that Maurice and I have selected. Opera, oratorio, arias, and a couple of Purcell songs.
Sounds marvelous. Oh, by the way, it was if Music Be the Food of Love and Music for a While, both lovely, centered, yummy Purcell pieces.
Mm-hmm. We chose the third version of If Music Be the Food of Love, which is quite florid and has a lot of sections that are really musically challenging and expressive. Mm-hmm.
Well, and of course, things being equal here, I do want to do one thing for our playout. This we'll say goodbye here, but this is the Schubert Polonaise number 3 with someone by the name of Seth and Maurice Carlin.
Yay!
On fortepiano, four hands. Thank you for being here this morning.
Thank you,
Kathy, for inviting us.
You are more than welcome.